Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
You want to tell me your name?
My name is Adeline.
You're going to read Matthew. You're going to read Matthew 28.
So this Bible verse is Matthew 28.
Verses 1 through 10.
Verses 1 through 10.
Jesus has risen.
Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down on it, down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, yet afraid, yet filled with joy. So the woman hurried away from the tomb and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, collapsed his feet, worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me."
Good job. Good job. You did good. Good job.
It's Easter, so I thought we should have some quality reading today, because I always seem to struggle. Really appreciate Miss Addie giving us her time today to bring us the gospel. Church, happy Easter.
Happy Easter. He is risen.
You know, as I was preparing the message this year for Easter, I kind of started to struggle just a little bit. Like, I was thinking, man, what should we talk about this year? What thing should I bring up? What thing should we bring out of the story? And I thought about this one time I was talking with a pastor, and he was sort of lamenting and sort of joking about how hard it is to write an Easter message every year. He says, you know, it's kind of a challenge because, like, the story doesn't change. Like, the tomb's still empty. He's still risen. It's kind of difficult to write a new message every single year, which of course is a really bad attitude because it's not about us and the gospel is still powerful no matter what I say. But that phrase, that joke that he made, "he's still risen," it kind of started to play over and over again in my head in that moment where I was struggling with some writer's block. And I started to really think about that statement. He's still risen. Like, that's why we're here 2,000 years later. That's why, as we just sang ago, we are worshiping the same God. The same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The same God who parted the Red Sea. The same God that saw us in the midst of our distress and separation from Him and sent His Son down to die for us. The same God over and over and over again. And that's why, still today, the gospel is still powerful. People's lives are still being changed. People are still celebrating Easter because He's still risen. So turn to someone around you this morning and let them know he's still risen today. He is still risen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13:8. He is still risen indeed. And that's why Easter is still powerful. It's still something amazing to celebrate. It is still good news today. And so today I just want to unpack a couple pieces of the Easter message, a couple pieces of what Easter means that are still really, really awesome today. And sometimes we can sort of forget about them. And the first one is this. One thing about Easter I think we always can forget sometimes or take for granted is this fact. Easter means, and Easter represents the fact, that God still loves you. Turn to someone next to you and say, God loves you. God loves you. He still loves you. John 3:16, one of the most famed passages of Scripture, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We've all heard this verse before, haven't we? And it's truly amazing. God loved you so much, he sent his Son down to die for you on a cross and then rise in 3 days to go and sit at the right hand of the Father and be our bridge between us and God, allowing us to have relationship with him. That is awesome. That's amazing. That's what Easter's all about. It's the fact that God still loves you. But sometimes when we say that, it just doesn't, like we say, yeah, God loves you, and sometimes that love just feels so distant, so disconnected from our day-to-day life. You know, I had friends growing up who had maybe a father or a parent who would just pop into their life randomly. And every time they would pop in, it was always, oh, son, I love you. Maybe at Christmas it was an extravagant gift. But then the rest of the year, they were nowhere to be found. They weren't at the ball games. They weren't at the recitals. They weren't at the parent-teacher conferences. But every time they were around, oh, yeah, I love you. I love you. And after a while, these friends of mine began to resent that parent because, as most of us probably know, it's okay to say, I love you every once in a while. That's wonderful. But when you're completely disconnected from the rest of life, you're not in relationship, sometimes it can feel like, well, great, you say you love me, but you're not here. And sometimes we can have that same relationship with God where we almost feel like God is some sort of a deadbeat dad that somehow, yeah, great, I'm so glad you loved me 2,000 years ago. That's wonderful. I'll celebrate every, you know, year on Easter. I'll put on my nice clothes and go to church. But the rest of my life, I got some issues. I'm so glad you secured eternal life for me through Jesus Christ. But between now and the beginning of that eternal life, I've got some problems. I've got problems today. I've got issues today. I've got hurts today. I've got habits today. I've got things in front of me today I can't face alone. And it'd be really great if you love me enough to be here right now, to be in my life right now. And we get to this point where we see God's love as this distant thing. We see Easter as something that happened a long time ago. When the reality is this, Easter isn't just about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's not just about your eternal life. It's about the fact that God loves you right here, right now. Easter is not meant to just be a one-time thing or a once-a-year thing that we celebrate. Easter is a consistent reality in the life of a follower of Jesus. Easter is something that should go through the rest of our life. In John 16, before Jesus goes to the cross, he tells his disciples one of the most interesting things that Jesus ever said, at least interesting to me. He turns to his disciples as he's telling them, I'm about to leave, and he says, look, it's better that I go away. Because when I do go away, when I go to the cross and eventually go to heaven, I will send the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, The same Spirit that would raise Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God will come and live inside of you as a believer in Jesus. Meaning this, the Spirit of God is now living inside of you when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. You're not alone. You're called to walk by His Spirit. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 6 that in baptism, what happens is we are raised to life. We are baptized into the resurrection of Jesus. We are just like Jesus went into death and came out alive. We are called, as in believer's baptism, what's happening is our old nature is going down into death and we're being raised into a new life. We are being resurrected with Jesus. We are being baptized into Easter. We're being baptized into a new life, just like Jesus died and rose in 3 days. Easter is also a reality for the believer in Jesus because our old nature dies and we are supposed to live an Easter resurrected life full of God's love and His Spirit. Easter is called to be something that we live in each and every day. We are called to live in God and live in His love. 1 John 4 says that we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The more that we walk with God, the more that our love looks like His love, the more His love is inside of us. I say all that for this reason. God's love was never meant to be something that was a nice thing that we crochet on a pillow or we have on a wall. It was supposed to be a reality that we live in each and every day. We're supposed to live in this reality that we have a God that loves us so much. Not just that He sent His Son 2,000 years ago, but that He loves you right where you're at right now. He has a plan for your life. He has a way that He wants to make your path straight. He wants to walk alongside you and guide you and have a relationship with you each and every day. The problem is if we're not walking in that, sometimes it can feel like that love is distant. It's not here. Reminds me of the old couple that were driving. Old farm couple in one of those nice old trucks with the bench seat in the front. The wife says, "Man, do you remember all those years ago? We'd drive down the road, and I'd be sitting right there in that middle seat right next to you with your arm around me. We were so close, like 50 years ago. And now, look at us. I'm on the other side. We have all this space between us. What happened to us?" And the old farmer kind of looked and went, "I haven't moved." The reality is the same thing is true with God. Sometimes we get to this place where we're like, "God, you feel so distant. I feel so far from your love." But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I, the Lord, do not change. God says, "I haven't moved." Every time I've ever felt distant from God, it's not because He ran away from me. It's normally because I was the one moving. I was the one distracted by something else. I was the one not focusing on my relationship with Him. I was focused on all the other shiny things. Like my children, when they get distracted in the store, I begin crying out. And I'm like, "I didn't move. I was in this aisle. Where did you go?" I have the same thing with God. I get distracted in the cereal aisle. I see things that I want. I see other things that I desire besides being in His presence. And suddenly I feel, "Oh, God, where are you?" Fact is, God's love is something that's meant to be grown in. Just like a couple who gets married, they don't say, "Listen, bye, I'll see you in a couple years." What do? They draw close to each other, and they spend time together, and they live in relationship with each other. And God wants to do the same thing with you. I've always loved Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is praying over the church in Ephesus. And he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love that prayer for multiple reasons, but I love it also for this. Paul is praying for power for the Lord's people, a power that comes from the Holy Spirit for several things. He wants them to be fully rooted in Christ Jesus. He wants them to be walking with Jesus. But then he says this other thing, I pray that you have power to understand how high and wide and deep is the love of God. Sometimes for us as well, we struggle with the love of God because we just need some extra power to understand it. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us. The Bible says that the Spirit speaks with our spirit, reminding us that we are a son of God, a child of God. Fact is, there is a power that comes from the Holy Spirit as well that reminds us just of how loved we are. And so before we continue today, I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God continues to work in us today. And I'm going to pray, Father God, just like Paul prayed, that if there's anyone in this place today that doesn't feel loved by you, that feels distant from your love, who feels like that this whole Easter thing is a nice thing to celebrate, but they've never really experienced the fact that you love them so incredibly much. God, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you would just overwhelm them with a sense of how loved they are by you. They would be able to grasp how wide and how deep and how high and how amazing and how beautiful is your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that is still true today is that God still loves you. The second thing that we always have to remember, sometimes we forget, is that his grace is still free. Turn to someone and say, if it's free, it's for me. God's grace is still free. Ephesians 2 says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you've been in church for any manner of time, I'm sure you've heard this verse. I'm sure you've heard this said. God's grace is the free gift, not by works, not by what you can do. You can't earn it. Jesus earned it on the cross. You can't do enough to get salvation. I've heard this message since I was a little kid. Yet I still want to earn it. You know, like I've heard it over and over again, but I still see it in my life. I still have moments where I just think, man, if I could just do a little bit more, maybe God would love me more. If I could just do a few more things. And what happens is we get into one of two mindsets when we try to earn, or we think we can earn our way to God. One is this insecurity that happens. We're always walking around waiting for the other shoe to drop, walking on eggshells thinking, man, this is going to be the moment. I know I've messed up a lot. I bet if I mess up one more time, God's finally going to go, yep, I'm done. Get him out of here. That guy Saul, I could change him to Paul, but this guy Tim, nah, way too many mistakes. And that's a horrible place to live as a Christian, place of insecurity. Always wondering, oh man, when's the other shoe going to drop, without understanding that it is God that secures my salvation. I'm called to obey. I'm called to walk in that. I'm called to walk in his spirit. I'm called to walk in obedience. That doesn't mean I just do whatever I want, but I don't walk around through my life going, man, one more mistake and I'm done. The second thing that comes outside of insecurity is arrogance. This one's hard because a lot of people don't understand this. Some people think they can earn their way to God. They don't realize they think that. But they do by the way they act. See, they get to this point where they think they've done so much for God. God, I've done the things. I've said the prayers. I've been to church. I've read my Bible. I've given to the church. I've tithed. Okay, now it's time for what you owe me. Where's my blessings? Where's my better life? Where's the things that I think I should get? Just like the people who laid down their palm branches before Jesus when he entered Jerusalem. They came going, listen, come, Hosanna, save us the way that we want. Come and save us the way that we think a Savior should save us. Come defeat Rome. Come build our kingdom. And then they got disappointed. Same thing happens in our life. God, I've done so much for you. I've worshipped you. I've done the things. Where's the things that I want? I had a conversation recently with someone. I said, man, I just think God is just, I don't know where he is in my life. And I said, why do you think that? Well, it ultimately became because I think if God was in my life, it would look like this. I would have a wife that I want. I would have the job that I want. I would have the life that I want. But God obviously isn't working if I'm not getting exactly what I want. Not like he's God or anything. Instead, we start to think, oh, I am God. One of the most important things we can remember is that we can't earn our way to God. It means we aren't owed anything, and we don't owe God anything except our devotion and our obedience. Fortunately for us, when we say that something is free in our world, oftentimes what we think is free is often cheap. For instance, if you have to pay more for a product, normally it means that the product is a better quality product than the one you are getting for free or for cheap, right? That's why we don't look for high quality on places like Temu. It's cheap for a reason. We know that. And the thing is, we can almost feel the same way about God's grace for us, his love for us, his mercy for us. We almost come into it thinking like, you know, it's free, therefore it's cheap, therefore it's not worth that much. But the reality is Jesus says this in Matthew 13. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, this kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Reality is this, when you understand how amazing it is to have a relationship with God, it gets us to this point where we're willing to give anything. Fact is, grace is free, but it's still costly. It costs Jesus a lot, and what will end up happening is you follow Jesus and you pick up your cross and follow him, it will take up more and more of your life to the point where, as Jesus says, you must take up your cross, your old nature must die, and suddenly the death of so many other things starts to happen in your life. Not as a way of earning anything, but as a natural byproduct of following Jesus and walking with him, you will start to look more and more like him, and more things in your life will be let go of to grab hold of what he has for you. Grace is free, but it still has a cost to it. It cost Jesus everything, and he was more than willing to pay the price for us. His grace is still free. He still loves you. And finally, he still has a new life for you. This is an important one because this is the ultimate, I think, message of Easter that we so often miss, is that Jesus has an Easter life, a resurrected life, a new life for you in Christ. So often what happens is we can walk into church, we walk into Easter, and we say, man, he is risen. He is risen indeed. It's wonderful and amazing. And then we walk out, we live the exact same way, and nothing changes in our life. The fact that Jesus is risen doesn't make anything else rise up in us. But John 3:3, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. The promise of Jesus, and over in Scripture, is that God will give us a new life through his Holy Spirit, a resurrected life, new passions and emotions and desires. He will begin to make us look more and more like Jesus. And the reality is, this is such good news for us, because if Easter was simply God came, he paid for all the sins that you've done, that's great. That's wonderful. And then he went on to heaven and said, hey, great, you got it from here. Hope you make it. See you when you're done. That would still really stink, because we still live in a world full of sin. I mean, we have the sin that we commit, right? Then we have the sin that's committed to us. And so often the sin that we commit is so often because of the sins that have been committed to us. Have you ever noticed that? It becomes this cycle. So many people who have bad habits and things they do in their life are because someone long before did something really terrible to them. And on top of that, we have sin that we commit. We have sin that's committed to us. We have sin that's committed around us. We live in a world full of sin, full of things that are not pleasing to God. But thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That in Jesus Christ, we become new creations when we walk with him. That's why it says in 1 John 2:6 that whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. The story of Easter is that God loves you so much that his grace is still free. You can't do anything to earn it, but that in this Easter message, that as Jesus was resurrected, you are also given a chance at a resurrected life, a new life in him, a life in Christ, a life by his Spirit that produces the fruit of his Spirit in your life. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fear of the Lord. We likened it to children as they're growing up, that if you had good parents, there was a period of time where you did something wrong and you were afraid, you had the fear of your parents, the holy fear that your parents could sometimes put into you, where all of a sudden you did something wrong and you had a fear of punishment. Oh no, I did something wrong. They're going to punish me. Better not do that again. Better not make that choice. But that fear began to change. You no longer were just in fear of punishment. You became in fear of disappointing them. Man, I don't want to let them down. But then if you had really great parents, you got to this point in time where you started to understand why they were disappointed, why they would say not to do certain behavior. And then eventually you started to obey your parents because you had a fear of missing out on the best that they had for your life, the better way of doing things. And in the same way as we're following Jesus, there's a period of time where people start off as baby Christians, or in fear of punishment. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be punished. I want to follow God's way because I don't want to make him mad. And that's fine for a little bit as a baby, but as you grow up and mature, eventually, then it can move into this place where you have this fear of disappointing God. I don't want to let God down. I don't want to put Jesus back on the cross, as they say. But eventually, as you really mature as a Christian, you get to this place where the fear of the Lord, the awe of God in your life, becomes this thing where as you walk through life, you make decisions and you don't do certain things because I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. I don't want to miss out on his best for me. I don't want to miss out on what he has planned for my life. As we walk in Jesus in this new life, we begin to walk with that in mind. And that's why Jesus went to the cross and rose in 3 days, so that you can have life and life to the full, as he says. And that's what's open to all of us today if we'll surrender and follow him. And so today as we close, we've been talking about the fact that God is still good. He still loves you. Easter is still amazing. Grace is still free, and God still has a new life for you. And as we pause for a moment, I want to invite us to be still in another way. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." If you bow your heads with me today, I want to invite you just to be still for a moment. We have so many things in our life that are speaking to us, that are running around us. Sometimes Easter and even God gets lost in all the craziness. So I'm just going to stop and pause for a moment. God, thank you for the fact that Easter is still good news for us today, because you still love us. Your grace is still free to us. Your love is still incredible to us. And God, the life that you offer us is still available, this life and life to the full. And God, I just pray if there's anyone in this place today who's never started a relationship with you, I pray that this truly is their Easter, where they are raised from death to life, where you create in them a new being as they surrender to you. I pray that if anyone's in that boat today, that they would just pray with me now. God, I thank you for Easter. I want to give you everything in my life. I want to repent of all my sins and ways I've been doing my life before this. I want to give you it all and surrender to you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for him dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for the salvation that he secured for me. And I want to walk in that salvation today. In Jesus' name. God, thank you for every person that's here today. I pray that each and every one of us would continue to be reminded of how loved we are by you. That as we walk out of this place today, we would walk out with a new sense, a renewed sense of how awesome Easter is. That we'd walk out of this place praising you in every area of our life. God, you are good, you're awesome, and you're amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.